Hi guys, I'm Robin and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm in a tunnel. So like if I like scream or I woke up this morning and I have this like something in my ear, like I can't hear. It's just like, like, God, what is this? And I'm a high school teacher, so all day long I'm like, shut up, guys, just be quiet. It's really loud. As I said, I am Robin and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 25th, 1993. And by God's grace, I have not had to take a drink or a drug since that day. But boy, has it been a journey. I don't have enough days to tell you everything that I've gone through in sobriety. Mark, I'm going to kill you for putting her first because I'm very emotional now. And as I'm sitting there listening to Mallory, I thought to myself, my greatest gift that I get to have in sobriety is being a sponsor. Wow. I got sober in Clearwater at the Serenity Club, and Patekin was my sponsor. It still is to this day. When I was a year sober, I moved to Miami because I had a resentment over somebody in Ficky Paw. They were paying too much attention to Ficky Paw and not enough attention to me, so I left. And I moved to Miami, and Miami changed my world. I'm really grateful that I moved because I wouldn't have the daughter that I have now or anything else. I am definitely a drunk. I am, you know, I'm not just one of those average little, I'm going to have a few drinks and I wake up in bad places. No, I'm a fall down, piss in your pants, fall asleep on the bar, nasty drunk. Gross. And it just shocks me now that I could stand here and say that and not go like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. But I mean, I can say that now because now I have sponsees that go, I've been there. You know, they can relate to where I have been. There were other substances in my story, but this is Alcoholics Anonymous, and I am heavily into service, so I definitely respect the traditions. how I got here, wow. I'm not even going to go back to where I came from, how many family members I have, all that nonsense, but none of that really matters unless you want to know my life, and the girls will later. My sponsees know everything about me. I am definitely an open book. I hide nothing from them. Nothing. I mean, if I go out with a guy, they know about it. I mean, it's like, it's just, I tell them everything because I want them to know that I'm a human being before I'm anything else. Because if somebody thinks that I belong up here, no way. I don't belong up there. I'm real. I'm a real person. And I really like who I am today. I really like who I am today. Let's see. Whew, how did I get here? June 25th, 1993. The last 6 months of my drinking were really, really bad. I picked up my first drink when I was 9 years old in Panama City. I drank occasionally through my teenage years, but when I hit 18, I was off to the races. And boy, was it a mess. I was a blackout drunk from the very beginning. I met this really, really nice guy. Kevin, he was graduating USF, and I was a ninth grade dropout. Let me just make sure I throw that in there because that's really important. I was a ninth grade dropout because my mother really didn't think school was important. And when I met Kevin, my world changed because he was just like it for me. Nice Jewish boy, great family in Philadelphia. I don't know, I fell in love and he fell in love and alcohol like took over. And we lasted for 6 years and alcohol decided it was not going to last any longer. And I left him because he didn't want me to drink anymore. Still, to this day, I still go, because I still love that guy. As crazy as that is, I still love that guy. I've been in contact with his family, but my sponsor told me when I was doing my ninth step is the best amends I can do for him is to leave him alone. So that's what I do. I leave him alone. But there's a lot more involved in that one, but I won't go there. My day that I stopped drinking, I worked at Carlo Lincoln Mercury, and I was the accounts payable person. And there was a guy that used to come in the office all the time. We called him GQ David because he was really cute. And he would stand at the end of the, I do that every single time because my desk was here and the bar was up there. And he would be up there and he'd go, hey, Robin, whenever you're ready. And I'd be like, whoa, dude, like, really? Like, he wants to go out with me. Like, shit. That's really the way I thought. But come to find out, he had been in Alcoholics Anonymous for 6 years. And on June 24th, my boss came up to me, back up 3 weeks. 3 weeks prior to that, I was responsible for selling tickets for Busch Gardens. Our company took over Busch Gardens one day a year. And I have a daughter, an older daughter that I had when I was like super, super young. And it was her 11th birthday. Yeah, that means she is 34 years old now. Can't believe that. I'm that old. But we went to Busch Gardens, and my sister went, and of course some of my friends, if you know what I mean, those friends, the one that always had my stuff with me, and they all went too, and at that time they gave away beer, and of course I went to the tent first, and I started drinking my beer, and I went to the bathroom next to the German house, and my little daughter, 11 years old, walks in, and was all excited, like a little kid should be, and said, "Mommy, Mommy," and I had gone in the bathroom and tucked my pants in my pockets, and of course what did I find in my pockets was that little packet, and I shut myself back in the bathroom for a few more minutes. And there she stood, and I said, "Get the away from me and go see your sister," because alcoholism had taken over. I didn't want any part of my child at that moment. 3 days later was her 11th birthday, and of course I had had a guy in the garage, because by this time I was living in my mother's garage in a makeshift bed. I should be grateful that my mom let me even live in the garage. That's how bad my disease had gotten. And I took this guy home, and I took my niece with me, come to find out. She just told me this recently. "Do you know you took me to a bar that day?" I was like, "No." But took her to a bar, and of course I had a few drinks, and by the time I was done drinking, I was supposed to pick up the birthday cake, and there I walked in the door late. You know, and it's just all these little incidents. And I could tell you 100 other things that had happened prior to that that led up to me not wanting to drink anymore. Just the blackouts and the yuck and the people. Ugh. I mean, I really loved Kevin, right? And we lived in Fort Lauderdale. We lived in this townhouse, this really nice townhouse in Fort Lauderdale. And I wake up out of a blackout one day with this, with this fucking guy sitting there with a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, and I have a hickey on my neck. Kevin's coming home that day. I was not a cheater. I'm not a cheater. That's not the kind of person I am. But that's what I did when I was drinking. So all those behaviors just like were like in my mind. So on June 24th, those things had started happening with my daughter and stuff. And my boss had walked up to me and said, "Don't go out tonight," because Gina, the office manager, was looking for a reason to fire me because I had already been like, my behavior had gotten really bad. I was falling asleep under my desk, going in the bathroom, staying a little bit longer than I should be. By this time, I had started going to lunch, drinking Bloody Marys, thinking I was really cool, you know, just taken over. It could have gotten a lot worse. And I told him, I said, "Chuck, but you don't understand. Tonight's the last night of darts. I'm a sports girl. I love sports. I'm crazy, crazy sports girl. Last night of darts, and I have to go play." Like, really? So I went, and of course, I don't even remember hardly being there. I remember getting there and eating a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and starting my Miller Lights and my shots of tequila. The last thing I remember drinking was a shot of Gold Flakes, Schnapps, and then I went down to the Beach Bum Bar with a bunch of people. The next morning I woke up with pee in my pants in somebody else's bed that I had no idea who he was. Thank God I had my clothes on. That was a rarity. He washed my clothes, I took a shower, and I get to work really late, and they do an intervention on me when I walk in the door. And I walked out the door because they asked me to be excused so they could figure out what they were going to do with me. And I went down there, and Tammy, Chuck's wife, was down there, and she was one of my drinking buddies. And she told me that her and Chuck had been sitting up at night waiting for the cops to call because I was refused to allow people to drive my car. I was going to do what I wanted to do. I was my own woman, and nobody's going to tell me what I have to do. I'm still kind of like that, but, you know, I'm a little independent. When I go back in the conference room, Nancy Eckerberg, this has been almost 24 years, and this it's like it was yesterday walking in that door. Nancy Eckerberg says to me, "Well, why don't you just drink on the weekends?" And I just looked at her and I said, "Why don't I just never drink again?" Now, I have no idea where those words come because they were not from my mouth. because I was not the kind of person that was never going to drink again. That was my third white chip. I could tell you the other part another day. Obviously, Kevin was involved in one of them. I sat down there, and they just kept telling me all the stuff that was going on with my life and everything that I kept doing. And they suspended me from work for a week. And I went home, and it was a Friday afternoon. And I worked in Clearwater, and I lived with my mom in Tampa. And driving across the Bente Davis Beach, it's so funny telling my story here in Tampa, because now it's like, you guys know these places. It's like, dang. Driving across that bridge, I really wanted to ram my car into that bridge. It crossed my mind, and I stopped on the other side of that bridge. And and I had no idea what I was saying. And I just said, God, I have no idea what's going on with my life. I'm a fucking mess. Can you just please tell me what to do and how to do it? You know, please help me, because I don't know. And I walked in my mom's door, and my mom, the same person she had always been, I guess because of the way I had always been, I don't know, said to me, so what'd you do this time? And I DT'd for a week in my mom's house. She let me come in the bedroom. That was a good thing. My oldest daughter fed me oodles and noodles soup and Georgia crackers and Mountain Dew, and I DT'd on that for a week. And toward the end of that week, I had called back to Carlisle, and somebody had said that David was asking where I was at. And the following Tuesday, he took me to a meeting in the church where they read the promises. I picked up my now last white chip. And when they read those promises, I thought to myself, there is no possible way that could be my life. There is no way that I'm ever going to be not in fear, because my whole entire life has been full of fear till now. I got sober. I started going to the Serenity Club. You know, there's really a funny story. One of the girls at work sent me to a meeting with one of her sisters, and her sister took me to a meeting in Tampa, but it wasn't an AA meeting. It was something called an SLA meeting, and I was like listening to these guys, but they were doing it red lights, and I'm like, I have nothing to do with that. What is up with this, man? You know, like, ooh, SLA. Okay, no. So I started going to AA in Clearwater, the Serenity Club, and I'm sitting at the meeting. I always went to the 5:45 meeting, and I think that was the time. And I'm sitting there, and I'm banging on the table because I never realized I was super pissed off when I got sober. I was really pissed, man, at my mom. And I'm banging on the table, and we were having, like, this discussion about how bad our moms were. And now you know why you picked me as your sponsor. and this lady reached across the table and grabbed my hand and said, why don't we go outside and talk? And that was Patikin. And she has been, like, the light of my life for the last 23 and a half years. 23 years, 9 months, and like 5 days now, but who's counting? So we went outside and we started working my steps. And 1, 2, 3 was pretty simple for her. She told me to read. I read. She told me to get on my knees and pray. I got on my knees for my third step and I prayed. And I had one of those burning bush moments. People think I'm absolutely out of my mind, but I know that my God was right there with me. Not a shadow of a doubt that I know God was right there with me. And then she told me to start working on that dang thing called a fourth step. And I'm like, no way. I can't write all that stuff down. So what I wrote down was what you did to me. All the things that you had done to me. Not you personally, you know what I mean. And it was all just a huge bitch list. I did it thorough, as much as I knew how to do it at that moment. But when we were done with that, I went to her house and she set the appointment for me to come because I was a slacker. I still am. I like working on my fifth step for relationships right now, and now our appointment's been set for the 15th of April. It was supposed to be last weekend. I wanted to go to the beach instead. but I've worked my steps like 9 times now. So, I mean, I think I'm pretty good with working my steps. No, I don't got it, God. Please don't think that way. But when we were working my fifth step, I started crying hysterically because a lot of things when I was a little kid happened that were not the greatest things in the world to happen to a little girl, or a little guy. And she stopped me and we went to the beach. And she told me that I needed to go back and look at my God and to see that my God was a lot stronger than what I thought he was. And because I did not really have a conception of God. You know, I grew up with my mom going to church, and my mom would come home after church, and then she'd go and sleep with the neighbor to fix her car. You know, it was like, what is that? Like, God wouldn't want you to do that. So I was really confused about God. So when we went down to the beach, Clearwater Beach, I will never forget sitting there and her telling me about the power of God in those waves. And she would take me to, like, church every once in a while, or take me to a Buddhist temple, or just wherever, so that I could find my own conception of God. I have the coolest God in the whole wide world. Not better than yours. I'm sure yours is great, too, but I love my God. And, you know, when I was 6 months sober, time for my sixth step, I met a guy that was 3 days sober. We were a perfect match. You're supposed to laugh because that's really a joke. Because 3 weeks later, he was living in my apartment with me. And 2 months later, he relapsed. And, you know, eventually he came back. I'm peeking out the window. Codependency, like, really kicked in. Like, I was crazy. So I totally get it when people say don't get in relationships before you're finished with your steps and, like, really know who you are. I don't believe in that one-year crap because who cares? Like, 1 year? If it's going to take you a year to do your steps, you're going to be drunk anyway, to me anyway. But at least that was for me. That's me. I could not have gone a year without working my steps. There's no way. So when it came to the sixth step, my sponsor called me. She goes, what are you doing, Robin? Well, I'm sitting in the bed with Bobby. What do you think? I'm having fun. She's like, no, you're going to get drunk. You're going to get drunk if you don't get on those steps again. So I went right in there, and I got on my sixth step, and I wrote down the character defects that I thought I had, and then I moved to Miami. And then I got another sponsor, and, you know, I have had some amazing sponsors that have walked me through those steps. You know, when it comes to the eighth and ninth step, you know, one of my favorite sponsors was Ruth Louise. Now she calls herself Ruma. She was my spiritual guide when I was 2.5 years sober when I moved to Miami. And she was the very first person that grounded me on all of my steps. Because when we went through the fourth step, the fifth step, she was leaning at my knees and she said to me, you now have integrity, Robin. And it was like, you know, I was like young. So when she said that to me, I'm like, integrity? Wait a minute, what is integrity? Tell me again, like, I have integrity. Yeah, Robin, you have integrity. And we went through the sixth and seventh. And, you know, six and seven for me, I still work on a daily basis because if I see a cup sitting on the floor, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to pick it up, but I'm going to pick it up. And it's part of my sixth step. I'm supposed to, like, do things for people and never let them know it. I just let you know what I'm going to do. So, you know, oh well. I try to do kind and loving gestures to everybody. You know, I am a teacher now. Yes, I went back to school. I graduated. I got my bachelor's degree. And now I'm a high school teacher at, yes, Chamberlain High School. Stabbing 2 days ago. Woohoo! Just love it. But I chose that school. And that's when I moved back here. So I'll wait in the next 5 minutes, right? but when I was doing my eighth and ninth step with Ruth, boy, was it detailed, man. I mean, every single thing that I had ever done to somebody else was on that freaking list. You know, and most of them were the guys that I had hurt. You know, my mom was married 7 times when I was a kid, so I was determined that was never going to be me. So now I've been married twice, but I've been engaged 5 other times. So, you know, I wasn't married 7 times. You know, and I have most of the rings that they never wanted a back. But, you know, one of those amends, I had gotten married and I had a daughter, and I have a wonderful daughter who's now 18 years old, going to college in Miami now, and she's the love of my life. Her and I are like the best of friends. We're actually going to L.A. and Vegas and flying to New York City after that, right when school's out, just her and I. My oldest daughter is meeting us in New York City. I'm flying her out there because she's never been. And I'm trying to make that living amends to that kid. I'll never be able to make up to my oldest daughter all the stuff that she missed out on because of my alcoholism. Never. And I know that. That she's the reason I'm back in Tampa. But one time I was hanging out at my house. I had this beautiful house in Miami with my ex-husband and my daughter. And it was the middle of the night. And all of a sudden I pick up my phone because I pick up my phone every single time my sponsees call me. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm there. Because I did it a lot of times. And all of a sudden, there was this guy on the phone. Wait, let me back up. That happened after this happened. I'm calling my sponsor in Clearwater. And my sponsor is, of course, 727-446. And I'm just dialing the number because I've always known her number. And all of a sudden, this person answers the phone, Lambert residence. And I was like, what? And I'm like, Alan Lambert? Yes, this is Alan Lambert's residence. I'm like, God, get the fuck out of here. It was one of the amends that I owed for my ex-fiance. I didn't call his number. And I tell my sponsees that. Don't like get all freaked out about you having to do your amends. Because when it's time for you to do your amends, God's going to make it happen. He made it happen. I made my amends to that guy right there on the phone. And then several months later, 3 o'clock in the morning, he calls me to find out how I got sober. Is that not a God thing? That's a God thing, man. And to me, that is God. That is God in my life. This is where I always lose it because to come where I came from, to be so empty. I was such an empty shell of a person. Oh, my God. You know, I can even picture myself what I even felt like way back then. Just walking around sucking up all of your energy to fill me up. Because I didn't have enough of me to even want to be a human being. And now I want to give all of my energy out. You know, I have like 5 sponsees right now. And I don't care. I got 2 of them. Let's go read the book together. You know, because I don't care what it's going to take for me. I've been talking to this guy on the phone like forever. And I just told him today, I want you to know I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous for 24 years. Almost 24 years. In June, it will be 24 years. He's like, well, why didn't you tell me this before? I'm like, well, you know, I keep like not being at home at 9:30 at night. And you're probably wondering where I'm at. Like, so I probably decided to tell you where I'm at. Not that you need to know, but, you know, sorry. That's my independent attitude. Wow, I left out so much in my life. So let me, like, when I lived in Miami, I was 2 years sober. I could tell you the 11th step really quick. Meditation is a huge part of my life. I love to do meditation. I used to go to see Bhante, and now Bhante's not there. So now I've decided to go to the Center of Meditation or whatever that place is on Florida Avenue, Nebraska. But it has to be a part of my life. I have to have that connection with God. On a daily basis, I get up and I pray. If I'm off during the day and I'm not running out to school at 6:30 in the morning, I sit down and I read my literature, and I have like 5 books that I like to read. You know, my little dog, Oliver, just sits next to me and we just hang out and drink coffee and read books. But step 12, wow, my favorite step of the whole wide world. I've been involved in general service since I was 2 years sober, actually a year and a half. There was a cute guy that spoke at my group down in South Dade when I was a year and a half sober. And he talked about general service. And I thought, geez, he's cute. I should go to general service and check it out. Hey, you want to get involved in something, you got to like follow what you want to follow, right? So I went to the quarterly, which was in Fort Lauderdale, and fell in love with general service. I am now the area chairperson for the Grapevine. And actually next weekend, not this coming weekend, the 8th, Miss Mallory will go and see what it's like for the very first time. Because it is incredible to stand there with 750 people and say the Lord's Prayer. For to know that all of these people are here for one reason, and it's to make sure that the next suffering alcoholic gets to know what's going on. You know, like, how in the world could I ever pay God back for anything that I've received here? Now, don't think my life is like a piece of cake, because some days I'm like, I don't want to live alone. I don't want a roommate. I don't want a roommate. I got a roommate. Like, I told her she could stay there for a few days, and now she lives there. It's like, God almighty, man, I'm too damn nice. But being a sponsor, you know, you know, I went through a lot of stuff when I lived in Miami. I've gone through cancer. I got a divorce. One of my sponsees, when many years ago, probably 11, 12 years ago, her son drowned in a swimming pool. And she didn't take a drink. And she came to my house and she just sat and cried. And I got to be there for another human being. And there have been many, many, many times that same kind of thing happens. You know, and about almost four months ago, I went to 3333 at a 5:45 meeting, which I don't generally go to. And there was this nice little girl there, and this older-looking gentleman and an older-looking woman, and I thought she was there supporting them. because they definitely look like they belong there. And she turned around and she goes, "You've been sober longer than I've been alive." And I thought, oh my God, girl. And of course, she is little Mallory. And, you know, I've sponsored several girls. I was used to go to OSG when I first moved here. I moved here in July, by the way. My oldest daughter was diagnosed with a breast cancer gene, and she has gone through the double mastectomy and done her stuff. And she's actually having another surgery in May and another surgery in July. It's like, you know, it's just a part of life. My great-grandmother had it. I had it. You know, I look fucking, excuse me, God. I look great. My daughter says, "Mom, you went through all that stuff and you survived and you look great. I'm going to do it myself because I want to be around for my kids." You know, I have 4 grandsons. Oh my God, I just got really hot thinking about that one. And they live here. I don't see them very often because they're a little hyper. And I have one that's my favorite that hangs out with me when the school's off. And when I was going to OSG, I was sponsoring a couple of girls, and I'm not saying this to downgrade anybody's sobriety or anybody's whatever they drug of choice or anything like that, but I am not a drug addict, and I don't understand drugs. I don't understand the effect of drugs that have on people. I don't understand the cravings that drugs give people. But I literally had a girl come to my house and use in my house, and then life light to my face. And I was just like, I don't get it. I don't understand how. I don't know that you're doing that. So I don't know how to do that. I keep asking God just to direct me as to how I'm supposed to sponsor anyone that has a drug problem. Because I don't know. I know what it feels like to be drunk. I know what it looks like to be drunk. But I know what it looks like to snort coke or shoot coke. But I don't know anything else. And I'm only supposed to be here to pass on the experience that I have. So I've had people ask me to sponsor them that are drug addicts only, and I've told them no. I feel like, but I don't know what else to do. Because how can I help you if I don't know how to help you? You know? Wow, 5 minutes. God. God should always be my last thought of everything that I ever do in my whole life. You know, I am incredibly grateful for the God that I have. I don't know how to talk about you right now. I went in the bathroom and I always pray before I talk, and I said, God, let this be about you, because I want it to be about God. Because our book tells us to fit yourself to be of maximum service of God and those about you. So it's supposed to be about God. One of my favorite lines in the big book is where Dr. Bob says that he does this for 3 reasons. You know, I'm sure you guys know the line. And that's why I do this, for those 3 reasons. I want to ensure my sobriety. I have an 18-year-old daughter that's now going out to some freaking crazy-ass bar in Miami, and I want to make sure it's here for her. I don't want anyone to ever have to die again. I have literally watched hundreds of people die from this disease. And it happens every single day. Every day people die from this disease. But the way I look at it, what am I going to do? I can't stop you from doing whatever you want to do. What can I do to help you not do it? I'm no superwoman. I'm definitely not perfect. I make mistakes. I've done some stupid-ass things here in Tampa since I moved here. Just one, actually. Polly Pocket up here, huh? Woo-hoo. That's Mallory and I laugh about that. I think I'm so like, I'm on the perfect beam, you know? I'm like working for that perfect beam. And I'm not there yet. Dang it. But know that God loves you, no matter what you've ever done in your life. And I'm not up here preaching like I'm some kind of preacher or something, but that's what I always thought. I mean, if you really knew who I was before I got here, and girls, you're going to know, man, I didn't think God would ever want anything to do with me. Never, ever. Talk about feeling like you were the scum of the earth. I thought I was lower and lower. My mother always told me, you're a piece of shit and you're never going to amount to anything. And I proved her wrong. Or should I say God proved her wrong? Because God uses me on a daily basis as a teacher who was a 9th grade dropout. And I tell my kids that. I'm an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic. Because I know it says I've recovered. I have recovered from a seamlessly hopeless state of mind and body. but I'm still recovering for the rest of my life. I don't have this. And once I think I got it, I'm out. I really don't think. I mean, I go to a meeting almost every single day. I pretty much go to a meeting every day. Because this is God's deal, not my deal. Very quick problem solver.
Thank you.